What do your children know about you? I don't mean, you know, do they know where you were born and do they know your favourite food and do they know what school you went to and all this kind of thing. I'm asking, what do they know about you? What do they know about your struggles? What do they know about what God is doing in your life right now?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, those are some pretty deep questions. And I think that some parents are intimidated to go there because they think they need to present this image of having it all together for their kids. They struggle with, how vulnerable can I really be?
Yeah, that's right. And clearly this changes over the course of a child and then a young person's development. But we're looking straight into the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. And Paul says to Timothy, you know all about not only my teaching, but my way of life. And he speaks about, you know all about my purpose and my faith and my patience and my endurance, and on and on and on he goes.
Yeah.
So there's been a real downloading of the experience, the real life experience of the Apostle Paul into the young life of Timothy. What a marvelous example that is, that for those who are further on in the Christian life, there's this privilege and this responsibility of opening up the realities of what this life is like in an appropriate way and to an appropriate degree to a person where there is the trust and relationship of wanting to lead them by example. And I think this is a great thing for fathers and mothers, especially in teenage years. I'm so grateful for the guy in the church who said to me, take out your son every week and just have a one-on-one throughout these teenage years. And that's great advice. Why? Just to talk about life so that he would know you as a father and you would know him as a son.
Well, I think that's a great thing for all of us parents to be doing. And we're going to get into a little bit more what that may look like in today's broadcast. So hope you'll join us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we begin the message, 10 Keys to Effective Parenting. Here's Pastor Colin.
Unless the Lord builds the house is the title of our series. And we're really looking at God's design for a Christian family. Now, we focused last week on 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, and we're returning to the same passage today to focus particularly on verse 10. So I hope you'll have 2 Timothy and chapter 3 open in front of you. Last week we looked at verse 14, where Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Why should a person continue in what they've learned? Why should a young Christian go on in Christ? Reason is what he says in verse 14, because you know from whom you have learned it. We saw that Timothy learned the gospel from his mother. She taught him the Bible, and she modeled an authentic Christian life. And Paul says to Timothy, now here's the reason for you pressing on as a Christian for the rest of your life. You continue in what you've learned because you know from whom you have learned it. You've seen the life-changing power of the gospel in your mother. You have seen it in your grandmother. You have seen it in me. Timothy, you have seen this. You know this. Now continue in what has been modeled for you. And we saw last week that how you live will always speak louder than what you teach. Continue. Let me say this word of encouragement to older believers. To everyone in the congregation who is a grandparent. To folks who are looking at retiring in the next 5 years. To folks who are in the later years and stages of life. Your continuing matters to all of us who are younger. Those who learned the faith from you, your children and now your grandchildren, are watching how you continue. You are our examples of faith until the last breath leaves your body and you go into the presence of Jesus. Till then. And we need you to finish well. We need you to keep the faith. We need you to finish the course. And then we will have an example to look up to and to continue following. Now, that was our theme last week. And we saw that alongside parents, God has given the gift of partners, friends, mentors, pastors, who will also, alongside the parents, build into the life of a younger person. And Paul is a wonderful example of this. He mentored Timothy. And in verse 10, which is going to be our focus today, we have a fascinating summary of what this mentoring looked like. And so I want to draw your attention to verse 10, where Paul says to Timothy, "You know all about." And then he gives a list of the things that Timothy knew about the Apostle Paul. See, there was a relationship here. They traveled together, worked together, talked together, prayed together, and this became a life-shaping relationship for Timothy. And Paul writes to him and said, "Now you know all about." Now that raises a question before we go any further, a question particularly for parents. What do your children know about you? It's a very important question. Now, I don't mean, you know, do they know where you were born and do they know your favorite food and do they know what school you went to and all this kind of thing. I'm asking, what do they know about you? What do they know about your struggles? What do they know about what God is doing in your life right now? I want to encourage every parent to cultivate a life-shaping relationship with your children. And that can happen in a thousand ways, but if you are serious about a life-shaping relationship with your children, it makes sense that you have a plan as to how you're going to go about doing this. I guess we're all deeply thankful to others in particular ways. Here's one way in which I owe an enormous debt. Some years ago, Ray Green, member of the congregation here, said to me, "Colin, be sure you spend good time with your kids during their teenage years." And I have tried to follow Ray's example as he outlined what he did. And over these last years, I've had the joy of spending an evening each week with one of our two boys. It started with Andrew. Now it continues with David. We spend a Wednesday evening together. We hang out in shops. We eat together. Sometimes we play tennis. There's no particular structure except that Wednesday is our time. David gets to know more about me, and I get to know more about him. What do you want your kids to know about you? Now, when I counted up what Paul refers to in this verse 10 here, I noticed that there are 10 things. 10 things. That sounds a little bit bland. 10 principles, I thought. No, that's far too highbrow. And then it occurred to me, these are 10 keys. 10 keys. It's amazing how the scripture is ordered in this way. But there are, you count them, 10 keys for effective parenting. And this one verse gives us a checklist of what you would want your children to know about you if you are seeking to cultivate a life-shaping relationship. What you will want to open up of yourself, obviously in an age-appropriate level, and it will be more as they mature. But if they're going to follow your example, they need to know what that example is. They need to know your life. They need to know you. Now, this verse not only gives us a model for parenting, it obviously gives us a wonderful model for mentoring, a scriptural pattern for what mentoring can look like. Remember, this is Paul's relationship with Timothy that is being described. So for those who are not parents today, but who do want to have a life-shaping relationship, perhaps with another younger person into whose life you can build, you can switch the title and just think of it this way. You can call it 10 Keys for Effective Mentoring, because it's the same thing that's applied in both circumstances. Here in this one verse are 10 things that you will want to share of yourself that will shape the life of another person. And just as a very practical suggestion, you may want to take these 10, you may want to focus on one of them each week for the next 10 weeks in a life-shaping relationship that God is giving you the opportunity to cultivate and pursue. You ready for the 10 together then? Here we go. You'll see it as we move through verse 10 of 2 Timothy 3.
All right, we'll get to those 10 in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us. This is Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and if you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt, and I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is actually the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
You ready for the 10 together then? Here we go. You'll see it as we move through verse 10 of 2 Timothy 3. Number one, you know all about, says Timothy, number one, my teaching. Now, the important point here is that it's personal. He doesn't say, Timothy, you know all about the Old Testament teaching. He doesn't say, you know all about the apostolic teaching. That was true, but that's not the point here. This is the language of relationship, and so what Paul says is, you know all about my teaching. See, your children will learn what the church believes, but your kids desperately need to know what you believe. It is one thing for your kids to grow up knowing that the church believes in heaven and hell. It is entirely another thing for your kids to grow up and understand, my father believes in hell and heaven. That has an altogether different impact. They need to know that. So what do your children know about what you believe? Do your kids know what you believe about creation? About the effects of sin in the human personality? About the Bible? About who Jesus is, why he had to die, about the resurrection, about the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, about the church, about baptism, about communion, about the second coming of Christ, about the new heaven and the new earth? Don't try and cover all that in one evening. But if you want your kids to follow in your path, they need to know what you believe. And it will have a powerful impact in their lives. If you have not been motivated by anything else to learn, let this be your motivation. Because you do not want your kid to grow up saying, you know, my dad didn't know what he believes. They might just follow your example. If your child was asked to write an essay, what my dad believes, what my mom believes, what would be the first thing they write? Suggestion. Why don't you ask them? It could be a wonderful conversation starter. Why would you not want to ask them? When you think about what I believe, son, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Paul says, you know all about my teaching. Second, you know all about my way of life. See, it's not just what you believe, it's how you live. It's how you spend your money. Your kids have a pretty good picture of that. It's how you live within your means. Your kids have a pretty good picture of that too. It's about integrity. Just a few weeks ago, we had a guest in our home for Sunday lunch, an older Christian who took a particular interest to our delight in talking with David over the meal table. He wanted to know particularly what it was like for our son David to be a Christian in high school. And as the conversation progressed, this older Christian then said, "You know, David, I really struggled with Christianity when I was a teenager." And he said, "The problem was that people I looked up to didn't really live the life." He then told a story about how he used to go on the train into the city where he lived. The fare was the equivalent, he said, of 10 cents for a child up to 10 years old. Then it was 20 cents for a child 10 years or over. My dad, he said, was an elder in the church. He always gave me 10 cents every time I went on the train. And after my 10th birthday, I said to him, "Dad, it's 20 cents now." But he gave me 10 cents and he said, "Don't worry, nobody will know." And he said, I think that was the beginning of my struggles all through my teenage years. Your kids know your way of life. If you can think of a way in which your kids have seen a lack of integrity in you, I want to urge you today to confess it to them. It will give them hope if you do that. And you may well find that God uses your confession to further His work in their life. My teaching, my way of life, my purpose. Isn't this a great statement? Paul could say to Timothy, "You know all about my purpose. You know what's important to me, Timothy. You know what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to achieve in life. You know what I'm trying to become. You know about my purpose." Does your son or your daughter know your purpose? If your kids were asked, "What matters more to mom, what matters more to dad than anything else?" What would they say? Ask them. "What do you think is the most important thing to me in life?" The answer might be very revealing. Fourth, my faith. "You know," says Timothy, "all about my faith." Now, notice again that it's personal. He's not talking about the faith. He's talking about my faith. He says, "You know my personal trust and personal confidence in God." So here's the question that comes on this fourth key. Do your children see you? Do they hear you? Do they perceive you exercising faith in God through the tough passages of your life? Because your exercise of faith when you're going through a struggle in life may just be one of the most powerful ways in which the reality of faith speaks to them. This is what they're watching. I felt convicted about my own failure to do this one night just a few weeks ago. I'd come home tired, worn out, discouraged, and over dinner I'd been talking on about difficulties, about frustrations, and this and that, all of which got me some sympathy, which is probably what I was looking for. But I didn't sleep that night. And I have to say that somewhere in the early hours of the morning, I found myself deeply convicted. Colin, you were talking in front of your own son as if you had no faith. You talked as if there was no God. So the next night was my evening with David, and I said to him, and "David, I owe you an apology. When I was droning on last night, I was not speaking with faith." And you know, that led to the most marvelous discussion that the two of us shared about what it actually means to exercise faith when your own back is against the wall. And I said to him, David, if you hear me speaking like that in a way that doesn't show any faith again, I want you to call me on it. Because, you see, I want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul to my kids, you know all about my faith. And that means I've got to show it. I've got to live it. Here's the fifth thing. My patience. You know all about my patience. Yikes. This is a hard one. I can't imagine that patience came to the Apostle Paul easily, can you? Timothy knew about the times, evidently, when things did not move forward in the way that the Apostle Paul would have wanted, and he had to be patient. Patience is tough in an instant society. We plant the seed, and we want it to grow now. We take an initiative with our children, and we want their lives to be reshaped now. After a few weeks, a few months of doing the same thing, what happens? We get discouraged. Don't expect someone else to learn in 10 weeks or 10 months what it took you 10 years to learn before the Lord. And it's going to be 3 steps forward, and it's sometimes going to be 2 steps back. And Paul's able to say to Timothy, you know all about my patience. Thank God for that.
And we're going to have to pause the message right there. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called 10 Keys to Effective Parenting, and we'll continue next time. So I hope you make it a point to join us. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can listen online at openthebible.org. You know, Colin, some of us listening today are going to hear this message, and we're going to think, boy, I wish I'd been more patient. Or I wish I'd trusted the Lord more, or lived with a greater sense of purpose, or even I wish I'd heard this 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, before you despair, I want you to think about this. Who is saying these things that we've looked at in the Bible? This is Paul. This is the guy who was known for anger and violence, who was blaspheming the name of Christ. He hated the gospel. He says, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, but Christ changed him. And maybe you look back with regret, and maybe your kids know what you were, even what you are right now. But Jesus Christ can change you. And when he does, those who know you will see the difference, and it will be for his great glory. So don't give up. You look to Jesus Christ today, and don't let regrets lock you in. Let that be a motive to turn to him and to find the life change that he is able to bring in your experience even today.
And Colin, I would think that we may have some parents listening who look back with regret, and as they turn to Christ, they then wonder, okay, how do I go to my kids? Do I confess all the things that I regret or not?
Do you know, there may be a time for doing that. It may not be absolutely immediate, because one of the most powerful things is that people see a reality before they're told a reality. Yeah. So the right timing of saying, you know, I have come to a confession and I have turned to Christ, might be good to allow a little bit of time for that to be seen. But then there will be a moment where God will open a door for that confession to be made, and that may be powerfully blessed. It may be that it's a seed that's planted that grows up much later. But real change can never be denied, because a person looking at that transformation can say, only God could have done this.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that word of encouragement and that advice today. And this message, 10 Keys to Effective Parenting. Well, we've just scratched the surface of this message, and I hope you make it a point to tune in and join us for our next broadcast. As we continue, if you know you can't be listening live to the radio, you can always come to our website and listen online at openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a six-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible for every believer. The six sessions will introduce you to six central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.